open the eyes of our mind to the understanding of thy divine knowledge. Implant also in us the fear of thy blessed commandments, that grasping on all carnal desires, we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well pleasing to thee. Thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our Lord, and unto thee do we send up glory, together with thy Father, who is without beginning, and thy love, holy, good, and life-giving Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages.
Amen. Let us attend, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all.
The reading is from the Holy Gospel
according to St. Luke. Let us attend. At that time, as Jesus was coming near Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the road begging, and hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, What do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God.
Glory to thee,
O Lord. Glory to thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
So St. Paul tells us this, he says to us this morning, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. We heard in the Gospel last Sunday that Christ is the great light, shining on those sitting in darkness and in the region and shadow of death. What then should we expect to see when the light of Christ shines on us? Would we not begin to see what is hidden in our soul and in our heart? Would we not begin to see the old man in us? Would we not begin to see that we are naked? That we sit in darkness. That we are bereft of life. And that we lie half dead by the side of the road in the region and shadow of death. In short, do we not begin to see that we are the blind men of Jericho? This is a critical moment in the soul's spiritual life, so we are given to understand by Archimandrita Emilianos of Simona Petra on Mount Athos. First, when the light of Christ shines on us, can we even acknowledge that we are naked? Can we even acknowledge that we are ugly? We're dark, unsightly. Can we even acknowledge that our nakedness is manifested in pain? For for nakedness presents to us as pain. You don't think you're naked? Look deep inside of yourself and feel what you feel inside. The pain of nakedness is felt in the pain of fear, dread, terrifying loneliness. Can we even be that honest with ourselves? Or are we careful to stay far away from the tombs of the Gadarenes? The tombs of the Gadarene is the picture, it's the mirror of our soul, as St. Macarius of Alexandria would tell us. When we see our nakedness, when we begin to feel the pain of our nakedness, do we set out at once, maybe instinctively, without thinking, to clothe ourselves in fig leaves, to cover our ugliness and ameliorate the pain of our nakedness with fancy clothes, fancy fig leaves, and so present ourselves to us, to ourselves, to others, and even to God as someone we're not? Or will we acknowledge, will we confess our nakedness and sit down with the blind man this morning and with him begin crying out from the depths of our soul, Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I see St. Paul in this morning's epistle naming the clothes that we might clothe ourselves with if our choice is to hide our nakedness and the ugliness of our soul. He calls them earthly members. I think we could liken them to undergarments of the soul or underwear, because they are the first layer that we put on very, very deep down to the bare skin of our soul. Or as St. Paul says, these members of ours are on the earth. These particles, the word is meros, which could also be called particles or articles of clothing. They are on the earth, he says, epigis, epitisgis. In other words, these are what we clothe our inner man with, down to the bare earth where we came from. And of these fig leaves, these clothes, St. Paul lists pornea in the Greek, pornea, which one could translate as an obsession with pornography. But the word also denotes fornication or sex outside of marriage. Can you see how the pleasure of pornea, pornography, and fornication is but an effort to cover one's inner ugliness? It's like a narcotic to numb the pain of a terrifying loneliness and disgust that we feel for ourselves. St. Paul goes on. Uncleanness, depraved desire, evil lust, greed or covetousness, which is idolatry. And then St. Paul pauses, and after a brief interlude, he points out some more clothes in our soul's clothes closet. These are closer, it seems to me, to the pain that our nakedness presents. Anger, wrath, wickedness, blasphemy, vulgar, and filthy language. Look at those. Can you not see that they are all so many different forms of a deep-seated anger? And if you look into the anger, can you not see that the anger is the expression of a very deep, deep pain in the soul? That these earthly members can be likened to clothing that we wear is given in that St. Paul says, we used to walk in these when we lived in them, just like we walk around in our underwear and our clothing to hide our nakedness. when Christ our life appears, says St. Paul, so you will appear with him in his glory. Do you want to appear with him in his glory? Because you will appear in all of your nakedness. You will appear in all of your darkness. Because the inner darkness of your soul will be illumined by his light shining on you, sitting in your darkness and in the region and shadow of death. In the light of his glory, we will see ourselves as we really are. And again, as Saint Emilianus, well, saint, he's not dead yet, so he's not a saint yet, but he probably will be. As the Archimandrite Emilianus says, this is the critical moment. Dear faithful, this light of Christ shines invisibly in Christ's Holy Orthodox Church. Those who receive that light know that it is not a figment of their religious imagination because they feel it. It's real, it's palpable. In fact, there is a word that the Holy Fathers use very often to describe this kind of knowledge of the unseen, the invisible, the immaterial mysteries of God. It's a Greek word that translates out into, and is used, you know, that would be translated as aesthetics. So it's a knowledge that is, it's translated often as consciousness or awareness, but that's an inadequate translation because it's not just a mental thing. It's a knowledge that is sensory. The soul feels it. The soul feels it. As we were saying this morning in the adult education, you know that my hand is on your back, even though you can't see it, because you can feel it in the same way. This light of Christ shining on those, shining on us, those who receive it, they know because they feel it that it is not a figment of their imagination. They see it in an unseeing way. They know it in an unknowing way. And in that light, they know that they are naked. They can see their nakedness. They know they are blind. They can see, if you will, their blindness, their darkness. And they feel in a profound way, beyond feeling, the pain of their nakedness. They feel it. It's no longer an imagination. It is an existential reality. And they begin to cry out from the depths of their soul, Lord Jesus, Son of David, Lord Jesus, my King, that's what it means, Son of David, have mercy on me. Here, sitting with the blind man on the road to Jericho, not observing him as though he is someone else, but identifying myself as he, this is where the church this morning wants to bring us. Because until we see our blindness, until we feel the pain of our nakedness, our separation from God, not because he turned away from us, but because we have chosen to turn away from him, not until we see that and feel that in the depths of our soul, not until we see that will we ever begin to ascend into the heavens open to Christ's baptism in the light of Christ that is shining on us in our darkness, our nakedness, our ugliness, in our spiritual deadness. We will never begin the exodus of the gospel that would take us into the wilderness of our soul, into the tomb of our heart, and out onto the other side, made whole, raised to life, restored to our original beauty in the fragrance of Christ's Holy Spirit. Because you see, if we do not begin presenting ourselves to God just as we are, but if instead we begin looking for fig leaves to clothe ourselves with, God can't deal with us because we're hiding from him. It's like we're stiff-arming God to keep him away from us. This is why, says the Archimandrite Emilianus, this is the critical point in the life of our soul. And the church is preparing us to be led into the wilderness of our soul this morning by holding up this morning's gospel of the blind man of Jericho like a mirror, so that we can see ourselves as we really are, so that we begin to feel the pain of our nakedness. And in the loving embrace of our mother, the church, instead of putting on more clothes, more fig leaves, start taking them off, so that the Lord may begin to clothe us in Himself. He is the new man. And in Him, the new man in us begins to live. The new man who is being renewed, being restored to his original beauty in the image of God, Jesus Christ, in whom we were made. Archimandrita Emiliano sternly warns us, when you see that you are naked, when you begin to feel the pain of your nakedness, you must be very careful not to do anything to fix yourself. Do not clothe yourself with fig leaves, such as those given us this morning by St. Paul. For when we set out to fix ourselves so that we can present ourselves to God clothed and fixed, we succeed only in separating ourselves from Him. Only succeed in hiding ourselves from Him, as well as from ourselves. And so we become false. You could even say we become schizophrenic, because we are identifying with a part, with what is not us. So what does this blind man do this morning when he hears that the Lord is drawing near? We can see this blind man as an image of repentance, a model for us to emulate. Notice that the blind man does not fix himself. He doesn't scurry about to put on some nicer clothes. He remains blind, just as he was, sitting at the side of the road, and he calls out all the more, "Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And this is what attracts the Lord to him. Christ appears to him, and in the glory of the light of Christ shining on the blind man appears as he really is, a blind beggar. He makes no effort to appear as anything else except as what he really is. This is what attracts the Lord to him. And the Lord asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Dear faithful, what if the Lord were to ask that question of you? What do you want me to do for you? Would you want to squander this opportunity of becoming all light, all fire, of being clothed in the new man that is made new in the intimate knowledge of the icon of God, Jesus Christ, who made you? Would you want to squander this opportunity by pretending to be something you're not? This is the critical question. This is the critical moment. What do you want the Lord to do for you? And this is where the church wants to bring us this morning, to this moment, to this question. And she holds up the mirror of the blind man of Jericho. And as our mother, she longs that we would wake up, stop playing games, come to our senses, and present ourselves to her Lord and our God as we really are, ugly, stinking, blind beggars. What does the blind man answer? Our translation this morning is not a good one. It's some English person presuming what the gospel is saying, but it's not. He does not simply say that I may receive my sight. That's not what he says. What he says is, that I may look up, anablepo, that I may look up. Where? Into the heavens. that were opened at the Lord's baptism. The opened heavens that are the destination of the Lord's journey to the tomb. The opened heavens that are the destination of our exodus that we are getting ready to undertake. And the Lord says to him, your faith has saved you. Your faith here clearly means your desire, your absolute honesty, your being what you really are, so that I can deal not with your clothes, but with you. And immediately it says, the blind man again did not receive his sight. What it says, the blind man looked up. And then following the Lord, where? Into the wilderness of the Exodus. He glorified God. Yes, where did he follow the Lord to? Where is the Lord going? Is not the Lord going to his tomb? But the tomb opens onto our heart. And it's in our heart that we open onto the heavens and the glory of Christ's holy resurrection. To follow the Lord then means to follow him onto the Exodus of Great Lent, into the promised land of his heavenly kingdom. So the church is getting us ready for the beginning of Great Lent by helping us, or urging us, take off your clothes. Take off even the undergarments of your old man. Even put your old man to death. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Christ. Lose your life for his sake and for the gospel. What does that mean? It means lose your life that you may find it in the glory of his holy resurrection, in the empty tomb, that you might find your life in Christ and no longer in the darkness of the world, but in the light of his glory. And none of this is imaginary. Those who have received this light, they know it is not imaginary. It's the real deal. And it is made concrete. It's made physical through the great fast. Because we don't just talk about denying ourselves. We're going to start denying ourselves in a physical, concrete way through the fast. Fasting with our body. Fasting with our eyes. Fasting with our ears. Our hands, our feet. And all of this way, and in all of this ascetic discipline, joining our body to our soul. So that the whole being of ours can take up the cross and follow Christ into the glory of his holy Pascha. Amen. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Christ is in our midst. Yes.